Well, good morning. We're going to get started. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your loving kindness towards us. We thank you that your word is new to us today. It's fresh to us today. It's filled with light. It's filled with nutrition for our spirit, Lord, that we might grow thereby, that we might be encouraged by the scriptures, that we might be set in sound doctrine and we not waver to the left or to the right, but we will lay hold of the things that you taught us and we will not let go of it, Father. There's surely their salvation in things that we've heard from the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for enlightening us today. Amen. We are still in the book of Galatians. We just started the book of Galatians, actually. Where we ended last week is, remember the poor. This kind of where we ended last week, which was basically a reference from the book of Acts, where he says in there, we went down to Jerusalem, we settled the matter of salvation. It's Jesus Christ, it's the cross, he suffered on the cross, he was buried, he was raised on the third day. This is the gospel. This is what you're familiar with. This is what you know. Don't add anything to it, because there isn't anything to add. Your salvation was completely purchased. Wouldn't that be interesting if you go down and you buy a car, and then you're driving this car around? Say it's a BMW. We'll just stick with that. Nice car, all right? You're driving it around. And then after everything's settled and everything's done, and you have your paperwork and it's all done, the dealer sends you a letter in the mail 3 weeks later and says, you owe us more. And you're saying, what? How can I owe you more? I have my paperwork. It's a done deal. This, in the physical, in the natural, that's kind of like what these people were doing. It's still a bill of sale. They're still preaching the gospel, but it's been distorted. It's been twisted. And this is what was happening in Galatia. This was what was happening in Colossae. This is what was happening in Thessalonica. This is what was happening in Berea. After Paul went in there and preached the gospel, and he spent 14 years of his life preaching all those different regions, he comes back to Antioch, and everybody's excited about what great things God is doing. There's churches starting everywhere. And this is an amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the word of God was being spread. People are knowing their salvation is in Christ. And now you have these teachers going around, oh no, you have to be circumcised. You have to do this. You have to follow the law. And we have days and celebrations. And you have to go to Jerusalem. You know, everything that you're familiar with according to the law of God. And you have to eat this. And on this day, you have to eat this. And all these restrictions. But see, Christian life has a liberty. Our liberty is in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul makes that reference. He said certain people have come in to spy out our liberty. We have liberty in Christ because you've been set free from sin. And you're connected now with God. You are in Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the good news of the gospel. Well, he battled with these people, and we're going to press into new territory. It was settled. James wrote a letter, gave it to him. All these facts, all this narrative is found in Acts 15. It's just plain. It's like you're reading a book. It's right there. It's like your novel that you believe it. But Luke wrote the book of Acts. This isn't a big deal, but what we're reading here is an eyewitness testimony of what went on when it went on. So that's why we wanted to pause a second and realize where we're at, because there's some facts here, some that weren't given to you in the book of Acts. We're going to touch on some of those today. So the gospel's being perverted. He defends his ministry here. It wasn't from man didn't send me to you. God sent me to you. He's making sure that they understand. I love that. It just rings in my mind all the time when Brother Dale comes and he says, Grandpa's in the house. Well, in this case, Daddy was in the house. You see, the Apostle Paul was their father in spirit. So Daddy was in the house. Daddy is writing this letter to them. To me, that's important, but it's this is who he's so connected with this house, Galatia, these different areas of Galatia that he was in. He preached to them. Watch in 16. This is really fascinating. And you better get this right, honestly. You just better get this right. Verse 16 says, he was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's you, Shirley. God has revealed his son in you. When I look at you, I'm seeing the Son of God in you. You have to think about that some. You have to realize how impacting and how powerful that statement really is. We are in Christ. He's revealing his son in us. That's just an important stand. That's where we stand. We're in Christ. Ephesians, which is going to be written much later than this, makes a major effort. Pastor Bill used to teach that all the time. He talked about when he was at the Foundry, he had this little book in his pocket called In Christ. It was written by Kenneth Hagin, and he used to read that every chance he'd get. And I don't remember how many times, Janet, you might remember this, how many times is In Christ spoken in Ephesians? You know, sometimes she remembers those details. How many? In him. In Christ, in him. Do you remember how many times that was, sis? So it's a lot. It's a lot in here. You could count them as you go. But you're in Christ. And he said, I didn't consult with flesh and blood. It was a revelation to him. So he ran forward with this insight that he had. And he went to all these places. So he went to Jerusalem. They settled the matter. He left there. And after an interval of 14 years, that's when he had to go up. I have to go up. I have to go up. I have to say, this is my gospel, guys. The elders in Jerusalem, the apostles of great reputation were in Peter, James, John. They were all there in Jerusalem, and they heard his testimony. And they said, right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and Paul. They said, that is exactly right. That is the message that we preach. And this is interesting. When you look in the book of Acts, James starts his letter. I was going to go read that, but I don't want to take the time. I'll just let you read it for homework. James says, I understand that there's some certain people that are disturbing you. This is what James says. That are disturbing you relative to your salvation. And we're settling the matter here. Because that's how this book starts that way. You're being disturbed. When you begin to bring works into the equation of salvation, your gospel is being disturbed. Your heart is becoming unsettled. Do you really know the salvation that you walk in? This is amazing. So, and then when we are halfway down into chapter 2, seeing that we were entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised and Peter to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked. Now, this is kind of important as we move on. The real meat and potatoes, if you don't mind, the meat and potatoes, the solid rock doctrinal issues that we're going to talk about don't really start in the Galatians until chapter 3. But this is a teaser for it. The same spirit that worked effectually in Peter worked effectually in Paul as he went, as he traveled, as he ministered in towns, in villages, and the Holy Ghost was working. And that same spirit is working in you. When you go here and there to your workplace, you know, when we have ministry here in prayer, when we have ministry in the food pantry, when we have ministry in praise, and it's the same spirit that is moving that causes effect and changes a man's heart and brings us from glory to glory. Let's keep going a little bit farther. So they gave him the right hand of fellowship. This is where we're finishing up in verse 10 last week. It says, they only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing we were eager to do. This is what Paul and Barnabas had already decided to do. Matter of fact, you can see it several times in Paul's epistle, how he is inclined to help the poor and the needy. This has to be part of the gospel message. It has to be part of the gospel message. So, because I wanted to review that, see, his conversation hasn't ended at verse 10. He's continuing to talk, so I needed to review that. Watch what happens. This is what happened back in Antioch. We walked away from chapter, well, we're in the middle, the bottom of chapter 15, and Paul's own testimony, this isn't in, Luke didn't write this, Paul did. This is what happened. Luke he's not even going to meet Paul until 16th chapter. That's when Luke is going to meet him, okay? So Luke is not there when this is happening. Watch what's going to go down. But Cephas, just remember the poor. We're continuing the conversation. This is eyewitness now, right? But when Cephas came to Antioch, where was Paul at? They brought a whole team of people. Silas came with them. You know, they went to Antioch. There was other elders. There was other leaders who came to Antioch. Later, Cephas came to Antioch. Watch what happens. I opposed him to his face. Oh my gosh, there's contention among the leadership? Well, yeah, there was. It didn't go off the rails. You know, Peter and Paul, they loved each other. You do know that they were connected. They knew they were connected. They know you know that sometimes you're wrong, you know. Maybe somebody doesn't want to hear that. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you need corrected. Sometimes someone can help you. Thank God for people that have helped me over the years see something more clearly than I could see it before. Because I was wrong and the Spirit of God was right, and that person had the Spirit of God and they came and they helped me. Thank God for people. Apollos was helped, right? You remember that? Apollos was, they took him aside and they talked to him about the more excellent way. Here's the excellent way. After salvation, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's what he needed to hear. But Cephas came to Antioch. I opposed him to his face. Cephas was at the meeting. This is interesting. It's not doctrine. It's just interesting. Because we have these lives that we live here at Abundant Life Center in 2025. And we have real circumstances that we come face to face with. You know, we run businesses. We have schools. And we have oppositions, and we have things that go sideways, and we're trying to figure out the Spirit of God and the Spirit of peace and the Spirit of unity. Well, don't you think they had the same thing? Well, of course they did. They're just human beings like you and I are, and they're filled with the Spirit of God, and so are you. Watch what happens. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. When you're wrong, you're wrong. You just don't need to stay wrong. That's what's important to know. The Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all things you need to know. For prior to the coming of certain men, this is an eyewitness, come on. I'm not making this up. Prior to the coming of certain men from James, so James at some point, after the council had left, and they went to Antioch, and they were teaching, and they were all excited about there, another caravan came into the town. James was with them. Certain men were with them. No, James wasn't with them. I'm sorry. I misspoke that. Other men were sent from James. Cephas, used to eat with the Gentiles. He used to pal with them all the time. And he would have dinners with them. He would preach and teach there. You don't think Peter came up there and nobody asked him to share the word? You know, do we think that's the way it worked? You had somebody as important as the Apostle Peter come to town, and you don't ask him to preach and teach the word? So he was fellowshipping with them. Here's what happened. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, when these men came up from James, he withdrew himself, and he held himself aloof. All of a sudden, they weren't the good guys anymore. He started hanging with the Jews because he was a little concerned about his reputation. When we think we can hold on to our reputation, we're going to have a problem in life. Everybody following me? Here's where we're going with it. Because if I would ask you, any of you who are Bible students, I've already asked a couple people, so why did Paul and Barnabas have a problem with taking John along on the second missionary journey, John Mark? Paul and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, his nephew, with him. And Barnabas said, oh no, he abandoned us the first time. I'm not taking him with you. Most of us would say an answer if I say, well, why was the big riff? What was the big riff? And you're not wrong. That was one thing. But I'm wondering if you've ever saw this before, because this is the eyewitness. This is what happened. This is where we're on the scene right now. This is the purpose for the letter. Don't let people twist the scripture, twist the gospel, and lead you in a different direction than what Jesus set you free from. He set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made you free from the law of sin and death. This is what he will later write to the Romans. He didn't write Romans yet. Let me finish this. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw himself, fearing the party of the circumcision. His reputation was being called upon. I thought we already decided this, Paul. Didn't we just say this when we were down in a meeting that everything's good? There's no Jew, Gentile. We're the same. Bond, free, nation, tribe, tongue. We're all the same. We're all under sin. That's what Paul knew and understood. The rest of the Jews joined with him in hypocrisy, with the result even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. That's interesting. Barnabas, the one that traveled with him for 14 years or thereabouts, the one that brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those regions, including Galatia. I think it was at least 9 cities he went to. I'd have to go back and look at any notes that I might have taken about that. And then he reversed himself and went back through them again. Barnabas was carried away. Barnabas is a faithful man. Don't look at him with shade. Barnabas was a faithful man in everything he did, but even a faithful and loyal man and somebody who's been ministry for a long time can be deceived with the rest of them. It just takes one little wind of doctrine. Don't be deceived by winds of doctrines that float. We are warned against that. Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, if I would see, here's a pen, here's a paper, tell me the straightforward truth of the gospel, write it down. And this is what we have to know. It's a simple thing. Christ crucified, came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. What is the gospel? What is the gospel message? He already preached it at least twice already in the first, in the beginning of the second chapter. Barnabas was carried away by this hypocrisy. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, he publicly told him, in the presence of everybody, let me give you something to think about, Peter. Let me give you all something to think about. If you, and you have to think, ponder what this conversation is all about. If you, being a Jew, was Cephas a Jew? Yes, indeed he was. He was a child of Abraham, and so was Paul. And if you, being a Jew, sort of lost my place, hang tight. If you, being a Jew, live like a Gentile, that's how Peter was living. He was living like he was free from the law. This is how Peter was living his life. He wasn't in bondage to the law any longer. He understood it. He had a revelation of it. But for his reputation's sake, for these people that were sent up by James, he decided to hang with those instead of the Gentiles. He was showing hypocrisy in the midst of the congregation. You live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews. How is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? This was the twisting and distortion of the gospel. Why would you live like the Jews when that's not where salvation resides? It's being in Christ, if I'm just adding a little bit. And he's going on to say, he's not stopped talking yet. He's still publicly talking to Peter in the midst of the congregation. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. That's a true statement. That's what he was saying to Peter. We know this. Nevertheless, this has started revivals, turmoil in churches this statement is a doctrinal statement that you have to hold on to. Martin Luther grabbed a hold of it. He got a revelation of it, and he started a revolution, if you don't mind. This is where he got it from. He was a profound teacher of the Bible in a theological seminary. That's where Martin Luther came from before he was excommunicated. There's more to his story than I possibly could even get into. Watch what happens here. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the message, right? Even we have believed, even we Jews have believed, we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. Not faith in a law, not faith in Moses. Faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. We can't do anything right according to the law that causes us to be in the holy presence of God. You can't, because all are under sin. This is what the gospel is. This is what he challenged Peter with. See, he's still talking to Peter. He's still making this known to Peter. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners. In Christ, then, is Christ then? Peter, let me reason this with you. Let me talk to you about this. You answer me, Peter. He's confronting Peter publicly in this matter. And he says, but if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners, is Christ then the minister of sin? We've seen the same phrasing in the book of Romans. This was in the mind, and this is in the capacity. This is in the revelation that Paul carries. We know a man by the revelation that he carries, both to the good and his wickedness. Certain wickedness, a man will carry a revelation of wickedness, and you'll know, estimate his character. You'll understand what he's all about. He doesn't know and understand the truth, and he just needs help. He just needs help seeing and understanding this. And so let me continue on here. Is Christ the minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. This is what he told Peter. You're trying to rebuild something that we got rid of? Because in Christ, you get rid of. You're not holding fast to that any longer. Let me keep going. For through the law, here's an interesting statement. Listen to this. He expounds on it in more clarity in the book of Romans. Romans is going to be years later. Not a lot of years later, but years later. What law is it? Look at this. Because he clarifies it in Romans. For through the law, I died to the law. What? What law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He died to the law because that, the law of sin and death, that's how you're connected with the law. If you don't die to that, then you can't live in Christ. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. That is where we find our life, is in Christ. I have been crucified with, these are scriptures we commit to our memories all the time. But in its context, he's explaining, well, I don't want to say it so roughly, so don't take it in a bad way. Peter, this is why you're wrong. This is why you should be fellowshipping with the Jews and the Gentiles together, with the bond and the free together. We are in Christ together. We're not a separate group. He was bringing separation in Antioch, in that place where it was a firestorm of the Spirit of God moving in Antioch. The gospel of Jesus Christ was flying out of Antioch much more so than it was in Jerusalem by this time in history. This is the activity that was going on. It was a hotbed of the preaching and teaching of the word. When Barnabas saw what was going on in Antioch, he went and got Paul. He went to Tarsus and he found him. And he said, Paul, Spirit of God fell on Antioch. Please come down and help us, if you understand the narrative. And he was down there for years helping them, preaching and teaching the word of God. And then later, we flip the page, and here chapter 13 comes. And the Spirit of the Lord says, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the ministry that I've called them to. And out they go into these regions of Galatia and other regions. They went to Cyprus. They went to Salmos. They went up. They went down. They went across. They went up, and they were on foot, and they were going through. And they went through these different cities, and then they backtracked. And they came back to Antioch and with hands raised. And they were sharing what great things God had done for them. Doesn't mention this a whole lot, a couple of times, but let me just draw on your spirit for a second. You think the Spirit of God wasn't moving when those guys were in those places? Demons being cast out every time we see the gospel being spread. This is what happens. Does the Bible have to spell that out for you to believe that the Spirit of God moves? Raising of the dead, if possible, healing of the sick, eyes to see. This is what the Spirit of God does in the moving of the gospel. What's happening over in Tanzania right now? Do we want to believe that? Do we want to believe when we go on the mission field that God will move on our behalf? That we're carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? Oh, I'm doing this alone. I carry this burden. No, you're not. You have a helper. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead and guide you. And he's going to empower you and live through you to do the work and to bring this, the message of salvation. So it says, let me finish that part of it. While seeking to be, verse 17, but while seeking to be justified in Christ, oh, I already read that, my bad, sorry. Verse 18, for if I rebuild once again what I've destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. This is what we're doing. Living for God. But Pastor Bill always used to talk about this, you know, since he had an insight and a revelation. Living for the glory of God. That was an amazing insight. That will jar your thinking. What am I living for? My next paycheck? My next meal? My next event in my life? My next car I want to buy? My next guitar maybe I want to buy? Is that what I'm living for? No. We're living for the glory of God. And if he gives you another card, praise God for that. Thank him for it, because he wants to. He doesn't want you to live in a state of poverty. Poverty starts in the mind before it starts anywhere else, you know. If I can deliver that out of your head, that you, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, captivity was in their mind. And they couldn't get it out of their mind. And this is what's happening with religion today. Religion in the world. We have a religious thinking about things. Peter began to slip back into religious thinking. And it was a problem. He was bringing distortion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And division in Antioch. It wasn't huge. Paul was there to stay it. He was there to stop it. He presented his case before him. He's still talking here. Verse 21, he says, do I nullify the grace of God? For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. But this is a bold statement. When he's writing this letter, he said, I went to Jerusalem because I wanted to make sure I wasn't running in vain. I was making sure all that time I spent on the mission field wasn't needless. It was useless. See, he found out it was, because the Spirit of God moved everywhere he went. But he didn't find that through consultation with men. It was the Spirit of God that taught him. And then after he did all that running, he wanted to make sure that he wasn't running in vain, that it wasn't needless. The grace of God that he's put in your life is not needless. It's not in vain. He didn't give you that grace for you to sit on it. He's given us this grace, well, if you don't mind, maybe I'll say so that you will explode. so that you would manifest the glory of God everywhere we went. We get, our hearts are delighted. I hope Steve gets a chance, Brother Steve gets a chance at some point in time, I hope, to hear publicly a testimony at some point in time, not now, of course, but Steve's heart was just so filled up when he came into the prayer meeting. You know, I'm not going to tell his testimony. I want him to tell it, because it was more than touching. It was more than powerful. It was more than full of compassion. And a soul was saved, you see. And that's exciting. And a soul was filled with the Holy Spirit. But the story, getting engaged with what happened and how their conversation went to be, it made the prayer team excited about the matter. And so let me move on. Christ did not die in vain. His grace was more than enough. You foolish Galatians, chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? What's another word for that? Who's fascinated you? This is a Greek. Who's charmed you? You know those guys in India that they charm a snake and they just come up and they begin to dance before the flautist, the flutist? You know, who charmed you? Who are we dancing to? Is it the Spirit of Christ? Is he the one ordering our path? Or have we come up with some philosophy, some way, some other thing that's kind of like Christ? Or as Brother Dan had told us a few weeks back, when you go to India and you preach the gospel, you have to make sure that the people in India aren't just adding this Jesus to their list of gods that they have. There's only one. There's only one God. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one message that Paul was preaching to these people, and it began to be distorted everywhere he went. He was finding out teachers were coming in behind him and distorting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that in the book of Acts pretty regularly. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed? I say this frequently. This wasn't done in a corner somewhere. When Paul was making his defense to the king, he said, "Oh, king," I think it was Agrippa, "Oh, King Agrippa, this wasn't done in some corner. I know you know this. I know you've heard about this Jesus. This is the man. This is the Jesus. This is why I have these chains on. It's because of this man." You know, it was publicly portrayed. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. This is starting to get into, so pay close attention here, because Brother Dan has been preaching this, teaching this about the move of the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to know. This is where it starts getting into the meat and potatoes of what we're looking at in the book of Galatians. If you can answer these questions and you answer them right, you'll be on the right track. Watch this. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. I only want to find out one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? You've been doing these works of the law for all this time? And the Spirit came upon you? Is that how it happened? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? See, a lot of faith books are written on this verse alone. Hearing with faith. Hearing with faith. Hearing with faith. That's how they received the Spirit of God, by hearing with faith. Are you foolish? He asked his own children this. Remember, Daddy's in the house here. He's the one that started these churches. This is the Apostle Paul. Are you that foolish? I'm sure I've said that to my kids already. Don't be foolish, right? Having begun by the Spirit, and we have been begun by the Spirit. Surely you began by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God laid hold of you. You believed in him. Now you began in the Spirit. Watch what he says here. Are you now being perfected by the flesh? What should I pursue now that's going to make this bigger, better, more exciting? It's only by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's in you, that's working in you. This is the only thing I want you to tell me. This is what he's saying here. make it very clear, making it very simple. You began in the spirit, and now you're going to, I heard that scripture before. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I've heard that before. That's not what he means there. Your salvation will continue to work through you. You walk by faith and not by sight. You're working it out. You're showing everybody. You're giving evidence that God has changed your life, that he has come into your life. The Holy Spirit is there. He says here, hearing with faith. Are you foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit? Are you being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If you pay attention to the dialogue and to the narrative of the book of Acts, there was much suffering. I don't know. Pastor Bill has talked about this, and I know this for a fact from being in India, that when you accept Jesus Christ and you reject all others, you're persecuted. Brother Israel told us about that. He told us that your family just kicks you out. You got nothing. You could lose your job. That's not the only place in the world, but this is how culture will impact you. I've heard different people talk about how Catholic culture has impacted Europe and so heavily. You've probably heard these stories too. Catholic culture has impacted Europe so much that they influence whether you get to keep your job or not if you decide to go to a charismatic, spirit-filled church in Europe. That you could lose your job. Somebody will go down, they'll knock on somebody's door, and they'll say, so-and-so, you know, they've abandoned the church, they've lost their way. You know, I don't think it's a good idea that they work for you anymore. This is what happens. You will hear missionaries talk about these things. So, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. It didn't have to be. You have to know that the Holy Spirit is living with you. And what you're suffering, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of law or by the hearing with faith? This is what the faith books write about. And I believe it. To be honest with you, I'm not throwing a stone at faith books now, because what they have to say and the time they had to say it in our culture that I grew up in, I needed to hear it when I needed to hear it. That's hearing with faith. I need to live my life and walk by faith and not by sight. It's this. There's, when I began to understand it, there's two worlds going on here. There's a natural world going on here, and there's a spiritual world going on here. Which one am I in? At any point in time, if I start walking by my human mind and I think it's going to be this, and humans can arrange things and put things in order and organize, and we can do all that well, but that doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. We have to be careful with those things. It's hearing with faith. He is going to give an example. He's going to take us to Scripture. So even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is the same things he wrote about in Romans, the very same things. This was a Gentile population that he's with right now. There is Jews mixed in here. But when he wrote to Rome, he was writing to a mostly Gentile church. There was Jews there. He talked about Abraham believing God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing. Grab a hold of this. See, God already knew this. Just because you didn't get it, that doesn't mean God didn't know it. He foresaw this, and he spoke it. That's what faith does. It sees what's not, and it speaks what will be. This is what he's saying here. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith that are the sons of Abraham. He makes it even more clear when he writes to the Romans. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel. I wonder sometimes if people read the Old Testament, why don't you see the gospel in the Old Testament? I see the gospel in the Old Testament in a lot of places, actually, to be honest with you. It's not that hidden. It was hidden, but when Christ was revealed, he opened it up. Because he was the fulfillment of all those things in the Old Testament. He opened it up to us. He made it, wow. When right before he went to heaven, he took them through the scriptures and showed himself in the law, in the Psalms, in the prophets. He showed himself in that. Paul did that when he was in Rome. In the book of Acts, he talks about that. When he stepped into Rome, Acts 28, he says he took them through the Psalms, the law, the prophets, and he showed them the things pertaining to Christ at the very end of the book of Acts. Be sure that as those who were faithful, sons of Abraham, scripture foreseeing that God would just, and he planned on this. God planned on this. It wasn't all about Abraham, but it was. Abraham had to do his part. We all have to do our part at some point in time. Abraham was going to be the beginning of it. This is amazing. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. He completely opens this up in the book of Romans. That's why I talk about progressive revelation of a man. Paul definitely had a clear understanding and insight into this. But it's even more clear when we look at Romans. It's even more opened up. He grew more. He understood more. He had a deeper revelation of it as he began to grow up in Christ even more than what he is now. It says here, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. We have to be careful about the law comes with a curse. So if you want to live your life according to a law, well, which law, Randy? All of them or any of them? Because he's going to explain. Do you want to live by a law? Watch, he'll explain this, and I'll finish this up. Curses everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. You break one of them, you broke them all. There's no salvation in the law. There never was. That's not what the law was for. He'll go on to explain that later. Now that no one is justified by the law before God, it's evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. He's bringing it out again. We know this to be in the book of Habakkuk. Pastor Bill preached this pretty frequently. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Which one? All of them. Not some of them, literally, all of them. You can't miss a single point. That's why salvation was never presented as law. It's faith in Christ. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, again, Romans clarifies it more. He who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Best news ever. This is the best news ever. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Who became a curse? He did. He became a curse and took my judgment. That's what you're going to get. We're going to get judgment. We're under the curse. For it is written, the scripture cannot be broken. We know this. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree in order, that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Not just the Gentiles. We know that. It's the Jews as well. But Paul's making it clear. I'm puzzled for you. Why have you drifted away? This is for you. You don't have to live like a Jew. You're free. Christ has made you free. Christ, the blessing of Abraham, might come to the Gentiles so that we could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How to receive the Holy Spirit? Faith. If I jump up, spin around, run around the room, do some backflips, is that gonna make it happen for me? Never would. If it does happen to come that way, you can't make a new rule. Let me jump up in the chair and do a backflip off there. That's the rule. You're gonna get the Holy Spirit, do that. It's I don't think I'm going to see Dan do that. I'm just saying. It's by faith. Father, we thank you that we live this life by faith. We receive by faith. Even revelation and insight that comes from your word, it's by faith right now. And we thank you that you open these things up to us, that we know that we can live and walk in the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, and that we can live a victorious life here. And we thank you for this insight in the name of Jesus. Amen.